Our concern, sisters and brothers, ladies and gentlemen, for our continent of Africa, two major things, maybe three. Our concern is the lack of quality leadership. We have leaders, there are many great leaders in every sector. The word quality there is not demeaning at all. The word quality there has to do with lack of focus. Because our politics is very, very immature. France became a version of a democratic state in 1789 when a handful of angry people stormed the impenetrable Bastille prison outside of Versailles, and the French Revolution began, and that gave rise to a reign of terror led by Robespierre, who instituted rule by the people and judgment by and through the people. And there was a breakdown of law and order and the destruction of the rule of law. And it took Napoleon Bonaparte, who was born in Corsica in 1789, to come in, 1769, to come in and quell that rebellion and revolution and bring law and order back to Paris. And in so doing, established the Napoleonic era and then the French Empire, which was characterized by some phenomenal movement. And shortly before that, the Americans got their independence through a struggle with their colonial masters, Great Britain, and in horrendous war, the Americans declared independence and won their independence from Great Britain, united 13 states, and then moved on to purchase other pieces of land from the French and others to create now the United States of America. So even though democracy is young, even though the United States is a young democracy, just over 220 years or so, France is even younger, and Britain, which has an older style of government, which began with the Magna Carta in 1214, where the barons, Archbishop John, and Richard Reginalds, and some of the laborers sat together and formulated the Great Charter called the Magna Carta, in which rights for human beings were defined. And in that very august document, which I recommend you breeze through, came later on the Bill of Rights, affording rights to human beings and rights for laborers. But again, the framework of the Magna Carta, it cannot claim originality, because originality of the Magna Carta can go back to the Babylonian era, as far back as Emperor Yaburabi, who began to give people rights in terms of labor and establish labor law and what you could do and couldn't do for people. So our concern for Africa is that we have a lack of focused leaders, because we change our democracy so quickly. Before you know it, we are in another cycle. And then we get the same goofheads coming to promise us schools and food and banku and clinics, and then you don't see them for another 4 years. And the whole deal is it's time for us to eat, and they eat by themselves. And the people on the bottom never get empowered. And the trickle-down takes so very long. And the quality of life never improves. And what was a promise to the people and a mandate to the people to improve quality of life is never seen in a short space of time, because politicians lose focus very, very quickly. And then we have the private sector, which is struggling in Africa. The private sector is struggling because Firstly, our markets are very limited. Secondly, our quality of goods are very poor in comparison to imported goods. Thirdly, our means to get our goods to markets are not adequate. Fourthly, our financial sectors are very weak and unable to manage very well. And corruption is very high and rife. Surprisingly, Nigeria is not the most corrupt nation in Africa. Nigeria is number 8. Somalia is number 1. Zimbabwe is number 4, which really made me mad. And so corruption is also a killer. And so because of those challenges we have, the second thing we have leaders in Africa that are not true visionaries. Our vision is broad brush vision. It's like taking massive buckets of paint that have almost every conceivable color, and we have a canvas which is the future for Africa, and we then take the paint and we attempt to paint our future by throwing paint. And we have all the paint utilized on the canvas of Africa, and we claim we have a picture. Yes, we've used the canvas. Yes, we've used the paint. And yes, we've applied the paint. But the vision is so obscure. And so what we need is skilled vision, where we are painting not just with a broad brush, but we are painting with intricacy, with details, timelines, and realistic budgets, where we are living within our means. And most of you here may be Christians, and I am. I'm a pastor, been preaching for a very long time. And so you look at the Genesis 1, 2, and 3 model. God starts with a broad brush. Heaven and earth, broad brush. Then he begins to use intricate design to where he even embroids the grass with specific flowers and embossed daisies and lilies and flame lilies and so on. And then he designs insects, and he's so intricate he even puts hair on a bee's knees. And so our vision for Africa must be broad, yes, but it also must be extremely detailed and long-term. And we must be committed to detailed long-term vision. We must be committed. Allow me to recommend 2 books really quickly for you. The first one is Professor David Landes, L-A-N-D-E-S, or Lands, The Wealth and Poverty of Nations. I take issue with Dr. Dan Landes because he claims in his book, The Wealth and Poverty of Nations, that it'll take Africa where it is right now, in the manner in which it is growing or digressing. It'll take Africa at least 200 years to get to where the United States is right now if the United States does not progress at all. Well, I take issue with that because Professor Landes has not met the under 35s in Africa that are very progressive. And then a second book I want to recommend for you is by Professor Jared Diamond. He's a philanthropist, primatologist, definitely an ecologist. He wrote a wonderful book, Guns, Germs, and Steel, and why nations progress and why nations do not progress. And you can actually get it. It's a succinct. There's a succinct YouTube clip you can get, and he deals there as a philanthropist and primatologist as to the lack of progress in many nations and describes why some nations don't progress and why others do. And so let me start basically by dealing with mindsets, the Lord being my helper. What do I press? There we go. And deal with brief definitions. A system is an interconnected series of persons, places, things, or events that are self-sustaining, self-perpetuating, organized to produce certain or given outcomes. So God creates something. When he creates the thing, he puts it in a system. And when it's in the system runs the thing. The thing doesn't run the system. And Africans are very poor on systems. Most of us come out of, in particular, the Anglophone bunch. We come under British rule. And the British are very meticulous when it comes to systems. We found my great-great-grandmother's birth certificate when she was born in 1884. Her birth certificate was still there. But you try to ask somebody where their car papers are, because Africans don't do systems well. We don't do traffic well. We don't do flying well. They tell us we must line up here. We don't line up because we don't do systems well. And so President Barack Obama, when he first came in as president, his first trip was to Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt and then went to Ghana. And he was very condescending when he was in Ghana and chided African governments for the lack of weak institutions and gave strong advice and recommendations for us to improve our systems. So light is the first thing that God introduced. That was great, the video, guys. It was absolutely awesome. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God introduced a thing and put it in the system. It will travel in straight lines at 186,000 miles per second, and we'll bend it with the prism. And when we bend it, it will produce seven colors, on which we have a montage of all the colors in the world. And that system still works today. Light still travels at that distance from 93 million miles away to the Earth. Light still travels at 186,000 miles per second. Whether it's candlelight, whether it's the light of a motor vehicle, whether it's the light of a torch, whether it's sunlight, whether it's a laser beam, that's the system. And in that same system, God said, so he created sound, which travels at sea level at 750 miles an hour at sea level. Because the density of the earth at sea level, the pressure is 14.7 pounds per square inch. The higher you go, it's less dense, so sound takes a little longer to travel at higher elevations. Nevertheless, sound is in a system. What do you call this? What do you call this? You call it a sound system. This is called a video system. A video system. And we need to improve our systems. Tell the person next to you, say, improve systems. So let me give you some homework as we go along. Let's start with simple homework. Go home and color code your wardrobe. Get all your clothes in color codes. Start with simple things you can see. So my wardrobe is color coded. All the white shirts are here, black, blue, light blue, green, all the way. So that it's easier to find. All of my Ghanaian type clothes, my Nigerian type clothes are in a certain place. So that when I know where I'm going, they're easier to find. I don't know how many suitcases, probably, I don't know. All of my suitcases are lined up. My suitcase is packed already for when I go next week. Because I like to run, I was up this morning at 2:30 and I ran for an hour this morning from 2:30 to 3:30. And I have 65 pairs of running shoes. They are all in order, in their color, in the type of terrain I'm going to be running in when I get to a certain country. Because sea level is not the same as running in Phoenix or in Denver, Colorado, so my shoes then have to be matched. I am a Liverpool supporter. I have about 25 Liverpool shirts, and they are all placed in order to torment all of the haters. As long as Man United loses, I'm fine. Systems are very important, ladies and gentlemen. In Zimbabwe, we are having a lot of challenges economically, and that's because of collapse of systems. Law and order has collapsed, but most of all that affects us, the banking system has collapsed. And a country cannot progress if a banking system cannot be trusted, if the banks cannot look after people's money, if they are thieves, charlatans, and corrupt people right on the top. A country cannot function very well. Businesses cannot thrive if you don't have governments that can guarantee the paper the money is written on. What's the Naira now? 400 to 1? 360. It's the same as 400. Sounds like an auction. And so that's not good for us. It's not good for economics. It's not good for investors. It's not good for individuals that are growing into their future. It's not good for parents who have kids in university overseas. Because when it was 1-to-1, it was easy to pay. Now it's 360-to-1. How are you going to pay for your kids in university? And besides that, why are they in university overseas when they should be in university here? That's because we don't trust the system. All right, let's keep going. God being my helper. Let's deal with mindsets. Wills and minds. The reason it's difficult for Africans to change their mind, and the reason it's difficult for you to change your mind is because you have to use your mind to change it. I'll say that again. It's very difficult for a person to change their mind because you have to use your mind to change it. I'll say it in my language. It is very difficult for a human being to change their mind because they have to use their mind to change it. And so, within every human being, there is a physical brain, we hope. And within every brain is a mind, M-I-N-D. Within every mind, there is an attitude or belief system. A mind is made up of attitudes or a belief system. And with every belief system, there is a molder or a shaper. And every shaper has an agenda. So whatever the newspapers are, CNN, Fox News, Nigerian News, BBC, Al Jazeera, they all have an agenda. And that agenda is to shape the mind of individuals. And so if you read the gay agenda, if you read the first five lines of their manifesto, it's shocking. It states, we will sodomize your sons in school, in the bathrooms, on the playing fields. It's quite stunning. You read Karl Marx's manifesto for socialism. And in his manifesto, it's very clear what his agenda is. You read Serving Humanity by Alice Bailey, who is the mother of the New Age movement. Her book is called Serving Humanity. She wrote that treatise in 1906. Within her 10-point manifesto, she describes how she can reshape the world in 40 years. And remove Christianity from the West. It will take 300 years to get it back. And so those agendas are very rife. And so we have beautiful young women here that are about to go to Harvard or Princeton or the University of London, or somewhere in China, and they go for 4 years, and before you know it, their mind has been changed because of an agenda. And so what Africa does need, we need an agenda to reprogram the African mindset. And we need responsible thinkers sitting alongside these thinkers, men and women that are godly, that can constantly infuse in revolutionary thinking, infuse the God factor, Christocentricity, where Jesus is the center of everything, and that it moves out from there, that our purpose always points towards Jesus Christ. That's my view. So, every human being has a brain, every brain has a mind. A mind is created and generated by environment. Environment determines behavior. Behavior produces culture. Once culture is established, it takes years to change a culture. In my country, Zimbabwe, there is so much disorder. But 95% of the people that are in the disorder think that that is their normality. They think it's normal to drive vehicles where crossing lines and throwing dirt on the floor. Our city was never like that. And we have declared war on plastics and war on dirt. And our entire environment where our campus is, it is, you could almost eat your food off the ground. It's so clean. But you can see the line where our world ends and the others begin. And people that are living in squalor and dirt and in petrol lines, there are few lines that are almost 4 kilometers long. And people think that that is normal, that that's the way other people live. We have 14 to 16 hours of load shedding every day. My house has not had drinking water for 15 years, running water in my house. And people have settled that this is the way other people live, when abnormality has become normal. Let me show you how abnormality becomes a normality. Our sons went to university in Houston. My brother was living there. I'm the oldest of 10. Matthew's the youngest. He had just bought a new house and wanted us to come spend a few days at the house. And so we went to his house. And so my wife, Chichi, is she loves cleaning up. I'm afraid to get out of bed at night to go to the toilet, because if I go to the toilet and the bed will be made, the pillow straightened out, da-da-da. She's just like she's got like a cleaning demon. And if she ever gets deliverance, the demon will be coming out like this. Well, anyhow, she was busy cleaning because I like to cook, and I cooked there. I love cooking. Chichi can't cook. Chichi only can bake, so I cook and she bakes. So I was busy cooking and for the family, and so because her cleaning demon kicked in, she started washing up and so on. But my brothers had a tap in the house where you didn't know where to push it or pull it or turn it, and so by mistake, when she turned it, the whole thing came out. And water started going everywhere. It was already late in the evening, and so a hardware store was hard to discover. And so what my brother did was he took a pliers, the all-African tool, the pliers, and put it on the tap and closed it. And because it was a long weekend, this was like a Friday and so on, it was a long weekend, the hardware stores in the area were only opening on Tuesday. And so I came down, she says, "Oh, what is this?" She said, "Oh, the tap is broken." So they showed me how to function in abnormality. And And then we were busy because I started preaching and so on. So Sunday came, Monday came, we're still using abnormality. Tuesday, Wednesday, a week, 2 weeks, my brother was busy. I came back a month later, and now everybody, the kids and everybody, was using the pliers. And so some guy came to visit Matthew, and he saw that. He said to Matthew, "Oh my goodness, you got a pliers on your tap. That is absolutely brilliant. It's so amazing. I got to use this idea." The Nigerians don't know that they are functioning in abnormality. And so we need now, and I'm taking a bit of time with this, we need deep thinkers to help us define abnormality. And let's start with just things that come off my head. And trust me, we've been talking about this for a while. Let's deal with the rule of law. What does that mean? The law is for everybody. Human rights. What does that mean? Women's rights. Education. Drinking water, housing, sanitation, infrastructural development, job creation, valuing human life. All of these things are important that must be highlighted, not just by words, but by and through actions. The devil that's killing us is corruption. It's become so entrenched in our societies that people are corrupt and don't even know that they're corrupt. And so when I was coming through in Lagos the other day, I was dressed ogre-ish because I didn't want to be bothered. So I had a nice whatever to separate myself from guys that were wearing jeans for the day. And so a customs officer did like this to me. So I said, and so I have fairly expensive luggage, and when you travel a lot, you need to invest in that. So he wanted to search my bag. I said, "Go ahead." He said, "No, I just want something." I said, "You know what? I am a chief archbishop from the highest church on this continent, and I'm here to fight against corruption in Nigeria, and I'm starting with you. Oh, please forgive me, Papa, Papa, Papa. Please receive my seed." Oh, man, that you only find that in Nollywood, man. And I put my arms around him. His name was Emmanuel, and prayed for him. And God would bless him, because I understand. But he doesn't even know he's doing it. And so I was waiting for the guys to come, because they had parked a little way away. And so I sat down to have a cup of coffee. And this little girl came, served me. She says, "Ah, Papa, how are you?" I said, "No, I'm fine." She says, "What do you have for me?" I said, "A blessing." She said, "How much is your blessing?" So it's from there all the way to the top. I can't say Buhari, so I can't say it. Amen. From there all the way. And it's also in churches. Because most churches don't have credible audits. They don't have their books audited. You don't have Ernst & Young or Deloitte & Touche or some reputable firm to audit your books to see if you're doing things well. We still count the money on the bed. We don't have credible books. So when we're dealing with corruption, let's not point to government. We have to start all the way from here and build it all the way up. And it's going to take a while. All right, I'm aware of my point. And so we then have to begin to set our normality. Well, how do we do this? Firstly, we have to deal with wills and minds. Everyone say the will of God. Say that again. There are five wills we have to deal with. It's the will of God, number one. I'll get to a little point in a minute. God's will sometimes can be very difficult to find. But we must pray that God will have his will. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom, thy But it's hard to know what that will is. During the civil war in Zimbabwe, I was in the army. I got injured in the war. Both sides felt it was the will of God for them to be in that war. Is it the will of God to be on this side and shooting somebody and killing them? And somebody shooting at you and killing you? So which one is God's will? And so in our prayer and in our tent for God's will, we must look at the hierarchical system that God has placed in to help us locate his will. You left the bank to start the church. You claim it was the will of God. Are you sure? Or was it the will of somebody else? Was it the will of a wife? Was it the will of a mother? Was it the will of somebody who saw a talent in you and thought you'd be a good pastor? And so there are many, many tens of thousands of churches in Africa that are not formed by the will of God, but nevertheless, Christ is preached. So God's will is for Christ to be preached, but for somebody to call themselves an apostle when they can't even read an epistle, that's another story. The second will you are going to deal with, and this is an interesting one, will number two, is the demonic will. There is a demonic will, 10:10 of John, to kill, to steal, to destroy. That's the devil's will, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And there are many agendas against human beings. It's a demonic will to kill and destroy human beings. That's why we have church and prayer centers, to keep those away. There are three ways you move the devil. Number one, you rebuke him, but you have to keep on rebuking. Number two, you have to bring in somebody of higher rank that can displace that. Acts chapter number 8, where higher rank can move the demonic world, but you got to keep them coming to keep that at bay. The best way to remove a demonic spirit is by displacement. By displacement, where you start with a few, you teach them, and it's called soft power. It begins to increase. And before you know it, the demonic culture is displaced by a spiritual culture. But you must be patient, because these things take time. Anytime a man preaches a word, you are preaching to six audiences. Right now, I'm talking to six groups of people. Wayside people. Thorny ground people, stony ground people, and then I'm preaching to good ground people, but on three categories, 30, 60, 100. Whatever subject you are speaking to any group of people, you will always have those. When I'm speaking to my pastors on a Sunday morning, I have 65 pastors that help me with our church. When I talk to them, I know immediately that no matter what I'm saying, I'm dealing with wayside people. And yet they are pastors. Thorny, stony, good ground, 30, 60, 100. And so for some will think, that guy was quite good. I don't know why I spent all that money to go for all of that bloviating. Because of the category of the ground. And a lot of times guys want to grow good ministries in tremendous countries. And we spend so much time on seeds. And little time on ground. I have four sons, which means I have good seed. But if I take my seed and I dig a hole outside and I put my seed that gave me four sons in the ground, I'm not going to grow a son from the ground. And so Africa now has to start spending time on cultivating its ground. We have to identify the weeds, what are the stones in our way, what are the curses in our way, and we have to start moving those before we plant our young entrepreneurs, invest our money, invest our time and talent. So why do you think people go to the UK and go to America? Because they have good ground. Even though Trump is not happy with people coming and he's building a wall across the Atlantic Ocean, it doesn't matter. People are still fighting to go. Because they know they have a chance. Because they've taken 200 years to build good ground. In the 60s, America was not good ground. They killed JFK. They killed King. They killed Malcolm X. They killed Robert Kennedy. It was very unsafe to be there. South Africa, in Johannesburg, it's the killing capital of Africa. It's not good ground there. And so we have to spend time developing our ground before we put our seed in the ground. That's true of a church. It's true of a business. It's true of a nation. If you have a right hand, put it on your head and say, Father, help me to be good ground. Bang, 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 bang. Say, Father, help me to be good ground. Help me to be good ground. I planted 7 beans in January. I took one, I planted it on my dressing table. I planted one in cotton wool. I planted one in some sawdust. I planted one in some soil in a jar. Then I planted one outside in a pot plant. And then I planted 3 in a beautiful garden bed that I prepared with fertilizer and so on. They all sprung up at the same time because germination takes place at the same time. Phew, here they come, except the one that was here. Now, my dressing table is good ground. Because that ground keeps my perfumes, my colognes. It's good ground, but not for growing beans. I'm way off my point. The will of man, 3. I'm affected by the choices my father made. I'm an African, but my name is Tudor Bismarck. How? An African with a name like Tudor. A surname, Bismarck. My second name is John. My third name is Petit. So I'm Tudor John Petit Bismarck. So Tudor is a derivative of the Swedish Scandinavian word Theodore, which means God among us. John, or one, is commoner. Petite in French is small, and Bismarck is iron fist. So you have God, who is a commoner, small, with a small iron fist. But the reason my mother named me Tudor was because she was a maid to a very rich Jewish family, and they had a son who was very sickly, and he loved my mom. And my mom, as a maid, looked after that child. His first name was Tudor. And she said, if I ever have a child, I'll name him Tudor. My parents put me in a school. I had no choice. They put us in all kinds of places. I had no choice. In those years, Zimbabwe was apartheid. The government, a handful of people, had made a decision that certain kinds of people live here, some live here. We had no choice. I was hosting a meeting for apostles, and we had somebody from Great Britain, from the House of Lords, come and address us and told us that a handful of men had made the decision on how they are going to deal with Africa in the next 30 years and its resources, and there was not a single African in the room. So there's a handful of people that make decisions that affect your whole life. The same happened here. It's a handful of people. that decided to have this meeting, that decided to bring these people that are affecting all of you. And you'd better be aware of the people that you are trusting your life with that make decisions on your life. Say, Father, help me with my will. Then there is your will. There is your will. You must be determined. You must be a strong will. Good courage. Good courage. You must be very courageous. To be a business person in Africa now, you have to be courageous. You have to have the kind of tenacity and importunity like Edson. 10,000 times, but I'll try again. You have to be like Henry Ford, who kept on failing with the carburetor, but try again. You have to be like the Rothschilds, who made up their mind, we will not divest our investment. We will invest 100 years without touching that money. That's the kind of will you must have. I'm going to ask God, thank you for your will, but I'm going to be in the Garden of Eden, and I'm going to be resolute. I know I'm going to die on the cross, but pain can only come if I'm resolute to have success. So your will must be strong. Here's your second homework. Don't throw paper on the ground. Every day, pick up something. Keep your yard clean. It becomes contagious. Smile at me. $1,000 is not a lot of money. I'm talking about US dollars. It's not a lot of money. It's $3 a day for 1 year. $3 a day for 1 year. If you'll save $3 a day for 1 year, you'll have $1,000. $2,000, $6 a day for 1 year. $3,000 is $9 a day for 1 year. That's $3,000. Most loans, micro-lending loans, are starting at $2,000, $2,500 as a micro-loan. You can loan yourself money by having a strong will. I'll tell you about myself and then we'll ask questions. I have 30 seconds. I started in 1974 as a preacher. 1978, I met Chichi. I had no money. Chichi was into, their family were business people. They had grocery stores. Chichi's mother started from scratch, just hard work and industrious attitude. When Chichi and I got married, I borrowed a few dollars from my dad to help us get started. And in that process, I said, I've got to work hard, and started trading. Cross-border trading, buying, selling, bartering, but not spending, because I learned my last book I want to recommend for you, The Richest Man in Babylon, George Clason. It's free download, The Richest Man in Babylon. Chapter number 6, 7 Cures for a Lean Purse. It's going to teach you how to save money and invest. And we started putting money away. This is our policy at home. Of our 100%, whatever it is, 10 goes to God. 18% goes to our untouchable account. We put it there for whatever we're going to need in the future. 5% goes to special giving and offerings. And we run our home, we run everything else we do on 60% of our income. So if this month it's $1,000, we still use the same percentage. And today, teacher, I am not suffering, we are not poor. We have properties, we have buildings, we have cars, we have things, we have travel. I'm the oldest of 10. My brothers are not like me because I was trying to teach them. They won't listen. I started Kingdom Millionaires in our church years ago. We have 400 to 500 young people that come every Monday to learn on business principles. We have made some extremely wealthy because they've listened to simple principles. Everything in the kingdom of God is simple. And then you can take it to as complicated as you want. The numerical system, 0 to 9, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. On those numbers is built the entire foundation, built the entire faculty of mathematics, accounts, and physics. Music is 7 notes. La, 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 la. 7 notes. 5,000 songs are written every day on 7 notes. From concertos to 3-chord songs to Indian songs that are in 1 chord. The whole world of Technicolor is built on 3 colors. 3. 3 colors. So we start simple and we produce this. But you have to have a strong will. Because the minute you start putting that money away, some irresponsible relative, uncle, sister, brother hasn't paid school fees, there's a hospital emergency. The answer is no. No. We are not touching this money. This money is for our future. Jason got married 3 weeks ago. That's our second son. When Cheech and I got married, we didn't know we would have children. We didn't know that. And we made up our mind that when we have children, all our kids are going to university. We had no guarantee they were academic. And number two, when they get married, each one will have a house, a car, and a Rolex watch. So far, we have 2 boys married. The first one, he got married 4 years ago, walked into a house fully furnished with everything you could want, every single thing. Wells, televisions, pots, everything. Chichi even painted the house. They said, we don't like the color. She painted it again. Jason moved into a massive house, fully furnished. Motor vehicle. They said they don't like the gate. Chichi ripped out the gate and put in an electric gate for them because we are not scared. The third son is about to get married. He wants a house in another country. We said, okay, we'll transfer the money. We'll buy you a house. It comes with planning and staying true and being focused. All the men stand. Men. You guys on the front row, sit down. I'm talking to the young men. Get over money quickly. Buy your silly Range Rover. Get it over with. Get your Range Rover, your BMW, your funny shoes, your big watch, and you're always late. I can't get it. People are wearing big watch like this, and they are always late. Get over it. Buy those things quickly. Get over it. I don't know why you want to build a massive house with 8 bedrooms and 10 televisions when your children are leaving 5 years from now to go to college. So get over it quickly. Buy your rubbish quickly. And then start investing in the future. Father, I pray for the men here that you give them wisdom to build empires. Amen. Men, sit down. Women, stand up. Say, we are the richest in the universe. Come on, women. We are the richest in the universe. Say, as Nigerian women. There are no other women in the earth that have had more money than us. Father, give me a mindset to build. I own buildings. I've had planes and sold them. It's all vanity. You got to build for the future. Sit down. Questions?
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kingsley Momo, and I'm a Nigerian. Thank you, sir. I'm the guest speaker for your lecture. My question is, talking about mindset. How do you change the mindset of a people with over 50% poverty rate and a literacy rate of 59.6%. All of this in a population, in an estimated population of about 197 million people. How do you change your mindset in cases like that? Thank you, sir.
That's a great question. It has to start from the top. And what we have to do is, Africa has been very blessed because, what's your name again? Kingston. At a meeting of very powerful church leaders, we lead what we call the Council of African Apostles. And these are the largest churches in Africa. Their leaders come and we confer on African issues. And there are a number of Nigerians, notable Nigerians, that attend, Eddie Farrison's, Okwankwo, and so on. And so in our dossier, Africa, the 10 years from now, the first thing we discussed and had to convince ourselves with was patience. Patience. Nigeria and Africa is not a motorboat that can turn quickly. It's a very big ship that takes a long time to turn. And even when it starts turning and you're on the ship, it feels like it's not turning. I was studying the largest oil tanker in the world. It's just on a kilometer long. It is controlled by a joystick that's the size of my thumb. And every 2 seconds, Iwa, every 2 minutes, it has to be adjusted very briefly. Because if that ship gets off just by a point of a degree, it could take days to get it back on course. And when they start turning it, just to turn it around could take 2 days to turn that thing. Whereas if you were in a motorboat, it's like quick. So we have to have patience. Now, in saying that, we have to use respective platforms and create allies in those platforms. We'll start with the church. Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria has a good opportunity if men can ever think and work together. Genesis 11 verse 6. If we can just get a moment when guys can think together and work on a single agenda to prepare a church dossier as a recommendation for the future. And I'll get to some of those points. Find some allies in government, cabinet ministers. Right now, Nigeria has a few that are dotted and spotted in that space. In the private sector, there are some very wealthy Nigerian Christian businessmen that we can approach to put some big money behind a national change agenda. Then find some individuals that are in the media, that are user-friendly, that can write positive articles concerning our agenda. And then find some specialists that are, for example, possibly psychologists, PhDs in child psychology, and begin to work with the Ministry of Education in crafting the kinds of materials to shape the children of the minds of children. Now, this is where we have to be patient. Because if you are 40 years old, the first little leaflets of change you are going to see is possibly only 25 years from now. Because you are shaping the children from these young ages, shaping them with a different mindset to get to a certain place. And then they will have children. And their children will learn from what they learned. And then their children will then have the new mindset. So it takes time for that. How do we accelerate that? We have to use, again, we have to use what's available. Television, radio, newspapers, churches. Provided we have people that will constantly bombard that message into the people. Bombard, 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 bombard. If you have friends with your Glow, or Etisalat, who are the other guys? Ah, no, they take the money out of the country. Give me another one. AHL. Yeah, they also take the money out. But if we can find partners like that, you know, and say, let's have 1 year of positive messages. You know, instead of these silly ads, you know, I found my SIM card. Wah, 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 wah. You can get double time. No, it's a silly ad. But positive message ads, you know, it doesn't take too much time to do that. Just positive message ads, which include positive banners, because we become what we see. Just positive, positive. Get the songwriters, instead of writing all this rubbish that the guys are writing, let's get the songwriters to agree. Let's put out 4 songs a year together. All of us together, as a united effort. We record the song together, and we play it, and we get radio time. Play it, play it, play it, play it. Let's get the guys in Nollywood, and let's put out a couple of positive movies. Who watched Wakanda? Black Panther. Very positive. I didn't want to watch it at first because I thought it was, you know, African-American politics and so on. But, oh my goodness, what a positive message for corporate Africa. And so we're going to need that, Kingston. We're going to appeal to the pastors, and we're going to appeal to the young entrepreneurs to keep on pushing positive things. Our theme for 2020 as the Council of African Apostles is say something positive about Africa every day. That's our theme. Say something positive about Africa every day. And we're going to push that and push that and push that. Because eventually, if we can get, Kingston, if we can get a virus to begin, and if we can get that virus to become an epidemic, it takes long for a single virus to become an epidemic. But it doesn't take long from an epidemic to become pandemic, where it's almost uncontrollable. So that's our theme and our goal. So our first step is small steps, small beginnings, and a lot of patience. We mustn't lose the war and the fight within us. And it is possible to be done. If I may interject in a very long answer to your very interesting question, we are praying and asking God, why with Christianity spreading so quickly in Africa, why aren't we having the same economic results that Europe and other countries had when there was a Christian awakening? Because the quality of life of all Christians improved when there was an awakening in those respective countries. Why isn't it so here? And I think we may have some sort of spiritual answer to massage our dissatisfied minds, which is another deal. Good question. Next question.
All right, sir. We have a question here. It says, sir, considering your life experiences, ministry, and environment, how did you intentionally build your ground for your seeds? Name is Chooks Eleku.
That's my nickname, Chooks. Because of the war, I didn't finish school. And so I went back to school and made a lot of sacrifice. I refused to turn 50 without an earned degree. And I refused to turn 60 without a doctorate. And so it's never too late. But when you're starting on your journey, there are some things that have to go. Now, Cheech and I are so different. Cheech and I are so different. We are so different that I'm a man and she's a woman. That's how different we are. It was supposed to be a joke, and you all are looking at me. I don't watch television. Since I've been in the room, I have not turned on the television. It's too time-consuming. And there are certain things that edify now and then. Once you go through the news, the cycles continue all day, so the headlines are made. So we've already made that point. And so you must never trust a person that doesn't manage money well, and never trust a person that doesn't manage time well. Ask Emirates and ask Eric. And so my time is very short in the earth. There's so much I have to do. So earlier in my years, I began to focus, realizing I might be a preacher that God would use in different parts of the world. And I began to focus on that. 7 hours of Bible a day, 6 hours of prayer a day, every day for 10 years. Focused. Made my circle of friends very small. Throughout watching television, Chichi loves watching her program, Chicago this and that one and all that nonsense. Same plot every week. Same person gets shot. Bones tries to be more gross. He's just like, I'm like, Chichi, give me a break. Just leave me alone. Because I was very sickly as a boy, I try to exercise as much as I can. Because of time, I have to make time. So I've been running at 3 o'clock in the morning since I've been here. So I can stay in shape and so on to look after myself. So you have to be focused. And then you have to have specific reading. So for me, January and February, I read only leadership, only. And then March and April, only finance, only finance. Only finance. And then I read 3 books every year. Malcolm X, I read that every year. Richest Man in Babylon, I read that every year. And the Science of Personal Achievement by Napoleon Hill every year. I do that in July, June and July. And then I read 1 or 2 novels, something that's not too sci-fi. On my phone, I have 3,500 books. Most of it is audio. So I never sleep without my headphones on. Because even though I'm sleeping, my subconscious mind is still registering. I have a book that's 15,000 pages. And I've been reading it from the beginning of the year, or going through from the beginning of the year. I'm only on 9,000 now. But while I'm sleeping, it's going into my ears. And then I have a couple of role models of people that I follow that I think are worth following. And so it just depends on what you want to achieve. Now, here are some of the challenges that you're going to have. You're going to find out that even in the preaching world, once you start breaking out and becoming popular or people start phoning you, there are those that are already in that space that don't want you there. So they start muscling you out. That's true of the petroleum industry, telecommunications, diesel, rice, shipping, transportation, politics. Right now you might be friends with the governor's daughter, but if you declare you're running for governor of your state, you become chief enemy number one. So you have to have 3 things ready. Number one, you have to have nerves of steel. You cannot be sensitive. You cannot be sensitive. Number 2, you have to have a legal framework. You have to have some good lawyers that at least from the beginning can donate their time to you so that you are well protected, because sometimes these guys can keep you in court for forever. And number 3, you need to start developing a financial base, because you can't win elections, you can't build strong business without a strong financial base. It starts small. But if we can learn how to pool money and pool talent, we can get somewhere. Because there's too much, there's people out there that will take you out, man. Let's just be real. So here's a few ideas for what we are doing with our ministry. Everybody in the church, by the time we get to the end of November, must have submitted on however they're going to send it, maybe computer-wise, whatever, it's a new generation, but the inventory of what they have, because nobody is worth nothing. So how many pairs of shoes do you have? How many dresses, watches, wigs, suitcases? How many of that do you have, and what's the value? So you put a value. And at the end of the day, we add what's the value. For the whole church, we then say that the total value of the church on a Sunday is this. Then we are also asking all the other churches that we work with in Africa to do the same thing, so that we can at least get an understanding of what the value of the church is in terms of what's sitting on the pew. Because we can use that as leverage. The second thing we are doing a people audit. We discovered that our church has 67 doctors. 67. They just did a covenant healthcare two Sundays ago when I was at home. And providing services, free services for members of the church. If there's something that's more complicated, they have referrals. And also, if people are HIV positive, to direct them to centers that can provide ARVs. But of the 67 doctors, we discovered that there were like 15 dentists. There were oncologists. So we're directing women that are having challenges with cancer. We have urologists. We have neurosurgeons. And then we discovered we have over 100 and something nurses. So my daughter-in-law is now running our medical program so we can draw from that pool. We also found out that we had almost 147 people in the broadcasting industry, from presenters to writing scripts to commentating, editing. And so now we are creating a pool of audits of gifted people. Then in the construction industry, we have over 500 people involved in construction. Plumbers, bricklayers, carpenters, electricians. So now we introduced Buy New Life Covenant Church. You need a plumber. We got JJ and Sons. They do plumbing. But you, JJ, you better make sure you do good work, because our church name is on the line. And do a good job. And you, Mrs. Plumber, make sure you pay him. And so we've introduced Buying New Life Covenant Church. All those that have shops, like Chichi has grocery stores, you know, all those who have shops, let's go and buy from those shops and put the money in there so that the money is beginning to generate within the church. Are we together? Amen. Amen. And so those audits are helping us now because it's gonna enhance what we have. And we're going to generate local wealth. This year, we got 190 families that are first-time property owners. Through deliberate efforts, we've helped people acquire their own property. 190 families with their own property. And so you have to be focused in those kinds of things. I don't even know what the question was. I just got,
all right,
I just got old Jonathan Goodluck. Amen. It's like,
okay. So can we take this? It says here in Africa there is a challenge with working together. People prefer to pursue their personal agenda. How can we change this?
Well, my views are very interesting. You know, when the Tower of Babel was built, the guys that were the engineers and the brains behind building the Tower of Babel were black people. And so when God confused the languages, the most confused of the languages were the African languages, the black people. The problem with Africans, we can hear each other, but we can't listen, because our languages are still confused. The white people were right on the bottom. So there's a handful of European languages, and it's easy for them to come together and speak the same language. But Africans, we have a very complex situation. And because of those languages, if you look at the first civilizations, we worked together, we were ahead. And then we were dismantled by much cruelty. And unfortunately, some of it had to do with Christianity that divided people and separated people. colonialism hurt us tremendously, caused brother to war against brother. And so we now again have to use the church as a platform, and we have to use the outlets to present a positive message. And in so doing, respecting and loving one another. And I think the church can offer a lot. Amen.
Amen.
That's the best I got for you on that one.
Thank you, sir.
Last question.
There's a question.
Aren't there any ladies with a question?
I'm sure it's written here. There's one from a lady written down. We'll just take that one and take this one.
Good morning, sir. My question is, on the will of God, how best and simple can I discover and know the will of God with 100% assurance and certainty that is the will of God?
You can't. Not with 100%. It depends what you want to do. That's why you have a pastor. Have you got a pastor? So if you feel something, you go to your pastor and say, Papa or Daddy or whatever, I feel I want to marry that girl. I'm 100% sure that I must marry that girl. But that girl is 9% sure that you are not the one. So, number one, you need to use the spiritual structures that are there. And equally so, you need to use your family structures, your father, your mother, your brothers. Those are placed in there to help guide you in the will of God. The will of God is not mysterious. Okay? The word of God is not mysterious. They are people that have been placed in your life responsibly that can guide you to find it. And if you have responsible leaders like I've seen here, they won't lead you astray. And so when you begin to pray and ask God for something, and you are almost certain, if your leader tells you, what's your name? Jephthah. Oh, Judges chapter number 11. Jephthah was a mighty man of valor, but we leave his mother's side out. Amen. Jephthah, if your leader says to you, no, you have to have the grace to say, yes, I will not do this. Don't be rebellious and go and do and say, I'm obeying the will of God. The will of God is higher than my pastor. Are you sure? You sure? So you submit to the hierarchical system here, because the minute somebody says to me something like that, I begin to watch them even closer and look for fruit. And then based on their fruit, we release them to go. The will of God sometimes can be very difficult. I have a son who is struggling tremendously. He's an electrical engineer, scored the fifth highest in the faculty of electrical engineering in the history of our university there in his master's program. He can't get work. He's a tremendous intercessor, tremendous preacher. He travels with me sometimes. He's my armor bearer. And there are people that are lesser than him that have opportunities. So God is working on his man to build him. I'm not sure the others that are on fast track. And I'm telling him, in your patience, possess your soul and let patience have a perfect work that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so I'd always advise people to go to the structures. When people ask me in the altar, you know, the Lord told me to start a church, I ask them, have you got a pastor? Go to your pastor. I'm not your pastor. I'm just passing through. Lady question, and then we're going.
This one is from a lady.
Yes.
Written down. Can I? It says, we live in a society and have a culture where women are relegated, although there is a growing consciousness that women should not be set aside. Now, the question is, could you give your opinion on the place of women for a thriving mindset and a nation, even in the face of harsh and tough cultural mindsets?
Again, some of that takes time. It is changing, and changing very quickly. There are some wonderful role models that have emerged in the world, and also for people of color that are successful and have a sense of high integrity. President Johnson has done a fairly formidable job in Liberia. Not enough to deal with issues of corruption, but a formidable job nonetheless. And then is it Mrs. Lagarde, who is the president of the European commercial banks and so on? She's a wonderful role model and is setting the way. And incidentally, since her administration in leading that group, they have now employed 2/3 more women in responsible jobs. For the women, please understand this, is that we have to strive towards meritocracy. By that I mean you must get the job on merit, not on gender. So that when you are in a boardroom and there is a discussion, even with chauvinism in the room, that like Condoleezza Rice, you are there on merit, not on gender. And also, God is promoting women. Do I believe in women bishops? Do I believe in women apostles? Do I believe in women archbishops? Amen. I believe. I believe. Mary carried the gospel. Amen. Do I believe in nothing? I believe. Do I believe in everything? I believe. You can be what you want to be. Amen. There was this politician. They asked him a question. Do you believe in same-sex marriage? He said, half of my constituents believe in same-sex marriage. The other half do not believe in same-sex marriage. And I believe my constituents.